The reading is from Habakkuk, we've just heard, page 940 in your church Bibles, verses 1 to 11. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet received. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. The Lord's answer. Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told. I am raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwelling places not their own. They are a feared and dreaded people. They are a law to themselves and promote their own honor. Their horses are swifter than leopards, fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their cavalry gallops headlong, their horsemen come from afar. They fly like a vulture swooping to devour. They all come bent on violence. Their hordes advance like a desert wind and gather prisoners like sand. They deride kings and scoff at rulers. They laugh at all fortified cities. They build earthen ramps and capture them. Then they sweep past like the wind and go on, guilty men whose own strength is their God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, it really is a privilege to be able to launch this new sermon series in Habakkuk. But I want to open with a couple of questions. I know some of you really well, I know some of you a little. I'm getting to know other people, but I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, and very simple questions. How many people here enjoy reading novels? Yeah, a whole load of hands going up. Okay, now I'm going to ask you another one. Is there anyone who's a novel reader that when you start a book, you turn to the end to find out how it finishes? There's a lot of laughing and a lot of looking at other... Oh! So, we've got a tentative hand from Joan Slater. Who expected that in this room? Not me. Joan Slater is a looker at the end. How about that? And then a sometimes from Amanda Dauncey. People who don't do that, how do you feel about looking at the last page? Oh no, says Linda. There was a on the back row from Linda there, and me.
Spoils the rest of it.
Spoils it, does it indeed? Well, I'll show you. My last few books, this was my book group book 2 ago, Murder at Ghoul's Nest. The person finding out who the murderer was a nun. A gentle whodunit. I didn't want to look at the last page. I didn't want to know who did it before I read those 350 pages. Now this one, bit of a chick literature, I'm afraid, just a simple between book group books. I didn't want to find out that the two main characters did indeed enter a romantic relationship. I didn't want to know that when I began. And then I'll just share with you what I'm reading at the moment. Quite a different book, again, my book group, Raising Hair. And I know there's a couple of people in the church that have read that. It's about a woman during lockdown that finds a baby hair, a leveret, and brings it up. But please, if you've read it, I've only got that far. I'm about to go on holiday. Please don't tell me how it ends. I want this hair to be alive by the time we finish our holiday. Please don't tell me. I don't want to know in my novels, but as we start reading Habakkuk, I want to show you right at the beginning how the book ends. I've entitled this four-week sermon series in Habakkuk, as you can see, even in that Bible, trusting God in troubled times. I've made it faith in troubled times. We're going to see today how Habakkuk is challenged and perplexed by all he sees going on around him. And then we see him talking with God, asking God why, in Habakkuk's view, God is seemingly doing absolutely nothing about it. And as we open the book of Habakkuk, we see him not in a good place, therefore. And I want us to, right now, look at the end, to turn to the last verses, to see where it lands. Because it's beautiful to see that Habakkuk is in a completely different place. These last verses, listen to what's not happening, and then listen to how Habakkuk is viewing everything. So this is chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. Even though the fig trees have no blossom, there are no grapes on the vines. Even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. Such a beautiful verse. Whether you've known it in the past or you're introduced to it this morning, keep going back to it. But what a wonderful yet. Look at it, the beginning of verse 18, yet. It's a great word. Habakkuk is saying, even though good stuff is not happening, even though difficult stuff is happening, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. There is trouble and difficulty, but yet I am trusting and rejoicing in God. Be encouraged, brothers and sisters, today, because this is our God that takes us from seeing all that's difficult around us to knowing him better and trusting him more, that we can say, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. So particularly if you're in a tough place at the moment, grab the yet of the teaching of Habakkuk. So as I say, we'll see in this opening of Habakkuk that he's confused and perplexed. But in 4 weeks today, we'll end with Habakkuk at peace, trusting God and praising him. And it's why I've chosen these 4 weeks of teaching for St. Mary's, because there is indeed so much going on in our world. There's stuff going on in our city. There's stuff going on for individuals, for couples, for families. Yet God is God. And God is here and he's at work. He is good and we can trust him and find that deep peace and joy that only he can give. So I want to pause at this point and pray. But as I do, let's just hold a moment. You know you. You know what you're coming before God with. But do you know God that you might have your yet? I will praise him. Lord, we are so pleased to be together this morning. It is so wonderful to see one another, to share in worship and fellowship. There are different things going on for different people. We see the things in our nation and the things in our world. Lord, through these weeks, would you open your word to us? Would you speak to us gently and powerfully? And would you move us, like Habakkuk, to a new place? To a place where we know you more, trust you more deeply, and rejoice in you more fervently. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going on this journey with Habakkuk. And as we do, I just want to start with some very brief background and introductory information. So as we saw from the opening verse, Habakkuk's a prophet, the oracle that Habakkuk, the prophet, received. And if you look at the structure of the Bible, you'll see the last 12 books of the Old Testament are the minor prophets, and Habakkuk's one of those. They're not minor prophets because they're less important or they weren't as good prophets. They're just referred to as minor prophets because they wrote less. We don't know a lot about Habakkuk. He's not referred to anywhere else in the Bible. But we do get from the scholars that this was written around 600 BC, so around the same time as the prophet Jeremiah. And it is a unique book in the Bible. It is a unique prophet because it's not a challenge for a nation or a people group. What we find in this book is a dialogue, a conversation between Habakkuk and God. So I get the portion and privilege today to look at the first 11 verses of that first chapter, which Amanda read to us. So if you've got your own Bibles or a church Bible on page 940, I'd encourage you to have it open. And as Jude said earlier, I entitled this first section, Seeking and Listening. Habakkuk seeks God and listens to his response. Basically, what we see here is Habakkuk in his questioning phase. Well, is he just questioning? In many Bibles, it's headed as Habakkuk's first complaint. So we have a complaining prophet. And boy, does he complain. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Violence is everywhere. I cry, but you do not come to save. Must I forever see these evil deeds? Why must I watch all this misery? Wherever I look, I see destruction and violence. I'm surrounded by people who love to argue and fight. The law has become paralyzed. There's no justice in the courts. The wicked far outnumber the righteous. Quite a complaint. Quite a view of what is going on around. Habakkuk has questions for God and about God. I see this, and why are you not doing anything? And I'm really glad that this book is included in the canon of Scripture, because I find it really heartening to see that even people who were prophets were confused and perplexed about what was going on in the world and were able to bring their questions to God. It humanizes them. I hope it makes us able to relate, so gives us a place where we can learn and grow in faith. So just like Habakkuk, I would say we ourselves, or those we're doing life alongside, are wrestling and grappling with life and the world. Habakkuk may have written in 600 BC, but he's articulating the same questions that exist today. Why is God allowing this to happen? Why hasn't God intervened and done something? And you know, we shouldn't be surprised that we have questions, that we're not fully understanding the ways of God. Look at these verses from Isaiah 59. For my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Today we get a chance to look at this dialogue between Habakkuk and God, but what we learn is what God is like, and are encouraged again to see God is God. He's got it. He's sovereign. He can be trusted. It's a good reminder that things may be confusing to us, but they're not to God. They may be perplexing to us, but they're not to God. We look around and they don't make sense to us. but they make sense to God. Habakkuk, in the first four verses, asks God questions about what he sees, what's happening among the people, the fact that there's injustice, evil, and idolatry. And Habakkuk plainly asks, how can this injustice and evil exist in Judah? And he says to God, how can this be going on and you don't do anything about it? How long, O God, and where are you, Lord? Well, he's there, and he responds. So in verses 5 to 11, we get God's first response. And how wonderful. God says, I am going to do something. Of course he is. He's God. He's in control. He's got it. Great. But then what God is going to do is quite shocking. In verse 5, we read, for I am going to do something in your day that you would not believe, even if you were told. Okay, God, what are you going to do then? Well, God goes on to say, I am raising up the Babylonians. That is a like jaw-dropping, mouth open. That is not a yippee from Habakkuk. This is not, yay, God's going to do something. Yay, he's going to raise up the Babylonians. No way, not at all. God himself says, I'm going to raise them up. They are a ruthless and awful people. That's God's own words. He's going to raise up these awful, ruthless people. But God knows what he's doing. He's going to do this to bring correction to Israel. At the very final verse of today's reading, verse 11, we read about the Babylonians whose own strength is their God. May that be a warning to us this morning. Not in our own strength. Never in our own strength. That's the Babylonians. They were trying to do it in their own strength, and they were people who worshipped pagan gods and thought the pagan gods gave them success. But of course, as always, no. It's the Lord Almighty, the God of heaven and earth, the God you and I know or are getting to know. He's the one who's in control. It's only by God's hand that the Babylonians, some of your Bibles may say the Chaldeans, it's the same people. It's only because God is allowing it that they can besiege Israel. God built us for relationship. He had his chosen people, the Israelites, and he wants that relationship back. And he knows because they have once again gone off and there's idolatry and injustice and sin, he knows the only way to bring them back is to raise up the Babylonians. Because when they face the Babylonians, then they will cry out to God and come back to him. But imagine being Habakkuk. You've come before God, you've done the how long, I'm seeing this, you're not doing anything. And God says, I am doing something. And then he goes, I'm raising up the Babylonians. God doesn't always act in the way we think he will. There's something today about letting God be God. Lord, I am sorry for the ways I put you in a box. I'm a positive person and I do love the Lord and expect him to do amazing things in our church and in our community. But I don't. There must be things where I'm not allowing him to be God and to see that his ways may be so different. Well, we're going to see Habakkuk, of course, coming back to God, because when he's just said, I'm going to raise up the Babylonians, wouldn't you ask God a bit more? And then God replies again, and Jude's going to unpack that for you next week. But before I close, it's really important when we open God's word together, when we come together in worship and corporately seek the voice of God, and when you're reading the Bible on your own, to ask the question, so what might there be for me today? And I hope I've already said some things that may be used by the Holy Spirit to plant in your heart and mind. But I just thought I'd very simply look at the application of this passage. What might it mean for us? What might we take away from it today? Firstly, please hear again and again, it's okay to have questions. It's great to see some of our youth, our young people here. As you grow in faith, as you explore, it's okay to keep asking those questions. Please do it. It's only through a period of asking questions that you come to the ownership of your own faith. And that doesn't just apply to young people, it applies to all of us. It's okay. So I stand here as your friend and as your vicar this morning and say, I am perplexed about wars going on. Why is the Ukraine still being bombed? I don't get it. And certainly, I stand here today being recorded, so I won't mention any names, but I'm certainly confused why certain people are world leaders and are in positions of incredible power. I don't get it, Lord. It's okay to have questions. It's okay not to get the ways of God, for they are higher than our ways. It's very simple today. Talk to him. Ask him. It's not in my notes, but I shared at the nine that I was really brought up short by God a number of years ago, before I'd met Paul, because if anything went wrong for me, something happened at work or with a friend, I would immediately ring my best friend. This has just happened. I don't know. I'm really upset about it. How wonderful to have a best friend to phone up. But you know, my first port of call needs to be the Lord. My best friend's a great support. But God, talking with God has a different quality about it. Turn to him. Talk to him. And my suggestion is look at the Psalms if you're in a troubled time. The Psalms are really helpful. We can use other people's words to help us cry out to God, because you find the psalmists in so many different places. And as Jude helped us think about at the beginning, another very simple, listen. Now, I know I haven't mentioned our chickens for a number of weeks, so obviously they need a bit of a reference. We've got two new chickens. But we're also, sadly, I'm on Facebook pages of chicken owners. About a year ago, there was a hilarious post, and it says, what's the worst thing about having chickens? Well, of course, 75% of the answers was the poo, although it's very good for the compost bin. And there were various things about the fear of the fox and all that sort of thing. And then one person just wrote, the worst thing about chickens is they just don't listen. So, insight into our marriage, if we're trying to get the chickens to do something, or maybe if we're trying to get each other to do something, we can say, what's the worst thing about chickens?
Just don't listen.
Just don't listen. It's one of those mantras in our house. I don't want to be a chicken with God. I don't want to be a chicken with God. I want to listen, I want to hear him. And God's been so gracious to me this week. I have heard him, it's been short, but three different times. And it has buoyed me up so much. Yes, he'll speak to us through his word, he'll speak to us through other people, he'll speak to us directly. I've got a bunged up ear, I'm needing Otex at the moment. Lord, give us spiritual Otex. Free our ears that we might hear you speak. And as I've said, I had another point in between those two. I'm going to go back. This is not written down. Be aware that his ways are not our ways. He's God, and he may do the things differently. And then I just wanted to say, if you're crying, how long, O Lord? If you're in a really difficult place and it's been going on, I, because it's in Scripture, want to say to you, God sees you. He knows everything about what's going on. I'll admit that when I wrote this, I did it the week before the church weekend, wrongly and rightly, I put, if you're crying out, how long, O Lord, I see you. It's God who sees you, I'm trying to share inarticulately right now that I want us as a church to see each other. This is not about sharing with absolutely everybody, but I'm here and I will see you if you want to come and talk to me about anything. But let us be people who love and support and care for one another. God sees you. Yes, I've already said go to him first. But may we be a fellowship that is really there. And a big accolade and shout out for your small groups where people really can see one another and be there for one another. God sees you. Help us, Lord, to see one another. And this is the big prayer of the whole of 4 weeks in Habakkuk in St. Mary's Church in June and July 2026. Lord, I want to trust you more. I want to trust you more. Sorry when I try and sort it out myself. Sorry when I put you in a box and don't think you can do anything about it. Sorry, Lord, and yes, please. We may not get the job we apply for. The outcome of our health appointments may not be what we hoped. The people we care for, whether above us, our parents, or children below, may not get the breaks and the things that we would hope for. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will trust in God, my Saviour. We have a great God, don't we? I pray we can trust him more. So let's pray. Lord, may your word, which is living and active, be at work in us. May it bring fresh insights and new life to us. And Lord, we want to thank you today that you are not a distant God, that we can come and talk to you any place, any time. And Lord, right now, just want to lift to you any here today crying out, how long, O Lord? And we pray, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. If that's you, I just pray now that you'll have a sense of the Lord Jesus just coming and sitting right next to you. He might put an arm around you. He might put his hand on your shoulder. Come, Lord Jesus. Lord, open our eyes to see more of who you are and grow our faith, grow our trust that despite whatever we face, whatever goes on, we can rejoice in you. Let's dwell in his presence for a moment. What is he saying to you as you cry out to him? So we thank you, God, that you're not only worthy of our praise, but you're worthy of our complete and utter trust. And we declare today that you are God. Come, have your way among us. Amen.